live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Made and okay, I'll say it. I'm thankful for the little run-in I just had with my daughter's cat. Yeah, we're broadcasting remotely. I'm doing it from home. This cat is nuts. It's a cute little cat, white little cat with a black ear. And she was upstairs, like across the entire length of the house, upstairs, far away. She could somehow tell this radio studio door got left open because I went to go get water. She sprinted. I'm getting water from the kitchen. I hear the cat's steps sprinting down the stairs, and I'm trying to fill up the water from the fridge, and I go rushing in. I can't beat her in here. And she sprints in, and she's hidden in here. So there's a white cat in this studio. So I love this little cat because I love my daughter, and I do love the cat. This cat may misbehave. During this segment, the cat's never stayed in here before, and she is determined. You know how cats are. They're very, very stubborn. They intend to go where they're going to go, and she hates the fact that she's shut out of the studio. She's been in here multiple times. It doesn't matter. You know, cats have this short-term memory thing. Well, maybe there's something new. Maybe there's a new smell. Maybe there's a new corner. Maybe you have a new book I could look at. So she's in here. So you may hear papers rustling. I may need to take a break during this segment to remove the cat. In other words, to capture the cat, to jail the cat. All the things that heroin Dan Satterberg is unwilling to do. And again, I must ask, are we really going to play along with the notion that someone who's probably a crazy person, who's probably hurt with mental illness, and I don't mean to make light of this. It is utterly tragic. But are we really going to play the game that a guy who's probably suffering from severe mental illness and severe addiction is a sign that anti-Asian bias crimes are up in the wake of COVID-19? Really? This is the game they want us to play? In Seattle? Really?
Don't think that the criminal justice system is your solution to homelessness and drug addiction. It just isn't. We're not built to do that.
To free up space then can be used for the isolation that would be helpful to everyone concerned. That's the right thing to do, and we're doing it.
And frankly, if prosecuting people who had a drug addiction worked, we wouldn't have a drug problem.
Man. This series of straw men and red herrings that impotent man, Dan Satterberg, throws out. There is not a human being on earth who says, hey, let's arrest people because that will cure homelessness. He's never heard anyone say that, and no one thinks it. And he's never heard anyone say, nor does anyone think, that the reason that we have prosecuting attorneys and the reason that we arrest people is because we think it's going to stop drug addiction. There isn't a person who thinks that. And yet every time I play that, I just listen in amazement that this man is considered the prosecutor of King County. I mean, that's his title, King County Attorney, King County Prosecutor. He doesn't prosecute. And again, just ask yourself, if they wanted the county filled with criminals, what would they do differently? No, seriously, consider this. If it was the directive of Smack Daddy Dow Constantine and Heroin Dan Satterberg and Potpipe Pete Holmes and Mayor Duress, Mayor Snow Shovel, if it was their decision that they wanted mentally ill people to be strewn throughout our streets, not being cared for, if it was their decision that they wanted drug dealers, if it was their decision that they wanted gang violence, what would they do differently? What would they do differently? Well, they might accelerate things. Okay. They did. They did. With COVID-19, they told the police don't arrest people for property crimes. They accelerated things. Jay Inslee let 1,000 felons out, violent people. We talked about the six-time felon, this guy who's now accused of assaulting a woman on a hiking trail. They let him out. They accelerated things. So my question stands. What would they do differently than what they're doing now if they wanted the streets filled with violence and gang violence, if they wanted Seattle and King County filled with cartels from China and Russia and Mexico and Honduras selling drugs, if they wanted more street crime, more property crime, exactly what would they do differently? They do the things they're doing now, but they do it more precipitously, like they've done with the pandemic and Jay Inslee's shutdown swindle. That's what they would do. You're seeing it. So again, tell me this is about a virus. Someone come to me and say, stopping the arrests of people for property crimes is about a virus. Letting people steal rent is about a virus. Steal rent from property owners. Letting 1,000 violent felons out of Washington state prisons is about a virus. Someone come and explain that to me. It starts with simple logic. Now, I understand an update on this story is that this guy has apparently been arrested. And I guess that's good. It's probably good. If he's hurting people, if he's hitting people, if he's spitting on people, then he probably should be arrested. In fact, he obviously should be arrested if he's doing, you know, physical harm to people. Kyra 7 has a story on a person of interest in bias crimes against Asians.
Seattle officers say recent racist attacks started late yesterday afternoon in the heart of Ballard and moved to Golden Gardens Park. As Kyra 7's Deborah Horn tells us, they believe one man is responsible for all of the incidents.
Right. One person. And Kyra 7 has this story. They also, the media reports that neighbors knew this guy, that they've dealt with him a whole bunch, that people are saying, oh, yeah, it's that guy. They describe that this guy said to, you know, spat in the person's face. That's assault. Put him away. Workers at the Thai Tanny restaurant said the man picked up things and threw those at him and demanded to know if they're Chinese. This is the first time when Unboon Moore knew something unusual was happening Sunday night at the Thai restaurant where she works, just like some crazy guy. So I start taking pictures. Yes, it is probably a crazy guy. He says things like, all right, are you Chinese? And I said, no, we're not. And he still keeps yelling at us. And I said, you're not going to leave. I'm going to call 911. Then he said, better blank and call 911. People knew about this guy. Why? Because we all know these guys. He's spitting on people, he's threatening people, he's throwing things. What will happen to him? We're in an incredible position. I've been saying this all morning. God has entrusted us with an incredible position. We've been challenged with something, you and me. 75% of Republicans know that the viral death rate has dropped. Most Democrats don't know that. We know that heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dow Constantine and Mayor Snow Shovel Duress and Pot Pipe Pete have these policies. We know that they're getting what they want. We know that they want tragic people, dangerous people like this on the streets. We know that because they keep them on the streets. We know that because all of their policies add up to keeping people on the streets. There's no push to share or wheel to get people out of the little tiny shacks. They're not even measured on that. The Low Income Housing Institute, run by Frank Chop, who is the Democratic Speaker of the House and has mobbed up as one can possibly be in politics. He started the Low Income Housing Institute. And I guess now his daughter runs it. It has amassed $190 million in assets that it owns during the homelessness crisis. 2 years ago, King County spent all in $1 billion on this, and the problem got bigger. they are getting exactly what they want or they would change their policies. We've been trusted, entrusted. We have been challenged to turn to our neighbors and say, this man yelling these atrocities at these poor people just living their lives is one of a thousand. And this is news because there's a racial aspect to it. Full stop. That's why it's news. If you inhabit downtown, you see people crazy yelling all the time. Last time I was leaving the radio station, I was on the phone with my wife. I said, hold on. I got to make sure this guy's not going to try to break into the car. He's walking across the intersection on East Lake, screaming his head off at me, putting his fist up in the air like he wants to hit me, like he's going to try to break into the car. I had to say, hey, gosh, I want to make sure this guy doesn't have something in his hand that I'm not going to have to shoot him. God forbid I have to shoot the guy. We've all seen this. This is news because there's a racial aspect to it, but we're entrusted to turn to our neighbors and say, this man should be locked up. Why is he not? Well, here's why. Heroin Dan won't lock him up. Pot Pipe Pete will not lock him up. Mayor Duress is happy to have him on the streets. The city council wants him here. People like this. Meanwhile, in our region, in Oregon, and this can happen here. In fact, let me tell you this. Glenn Morgan came on our program. Glenn Morgan is probably the most skilled political activist on the conservative side in Washington State. He came to talk on about, came and talked with us about how contact tracing could be misused. And I didn't know this about Glenn. He studied epidemics. He studied pandemics because he used to be a very high level corporate strategist and an helper of companies. He looked at a startup that was developing ventilators, like easy to build on the spot ventilators. So they studied epidemics. He's really concerned about contact tracing being abused because now the Snohomish County Health Officer has law enforcement powers. Yep. Because the Snohomish County establishment hates Sheriff Fortney because Sheriff Fortney wants crazy people who are mentally ill and need help. He wants them off the streets so they don't harm others. He wants drug crimes prosecuted because people who are addicted to drugs living in the streets harm others by stealing from them or physically harming them. They can't stand them. They're trying to kneecap them. There's the recall, etc. The Washington State Labor and Industries has been given basically police powers. They can come and check on your business, and if you're open, they can fine you about $10,000. If you're trying to earn a living, no matter how safe you are, no matter how many temperatures you're taking, no matter how many times an hour you take the temperature of your employees, no matter how clean you are, it doesn't matter. You will shut the hell down or they will crush you. The guy, one of a thousand people going about threatening folks. A, it's only news because there's a racial aspect. B, he's a dime a dozen. Still running around. Still let out. Felons still let out. Property criminals still not put in jail. And labor and industries can come and crush you because you're trying to earn a living. We've been given an incredible responsibility. We have to show the savage inequality of this, the nonsense, the lack of logic. This is political. It's obvious. It's blatant. It's political on its face. It's a con job. Glenn Morgan warned us that contact tracing could be abused.
Unfortunately, the way this is going to be implemented is going to be ripe for abuse. Does anybody really believe these guys will not use this as a way to harass people like me or like other people who they decide are problems? It's absurd. It's the perfect recipe for political abuse.
Was Glenn Morgan, Washington State, talking about the ability to abuse contact tracing apps and contact tracing in general, 1,500 person army, to abuse it. Just down the street, just south of us on I-5, just down in Salem, Oregon, a salon owner named Lindsey Graham. No, it's not the guy. He's the senator. Nope, this is Lindsey Graham, a woman. in Salem, Oregon, has defied a stay-at-home order to open her salon. She explains the lengths that government has gone to shut her up. What they're saying to her is, shut your speaking mouth, shut your thinking brain, stop disobeying, or we will crush.
And if you can possibly believe this, on May 7th, Child Protective Services showed up at my home. They questioned my husband and I. They questioned my child without me present. They searched our home. And I've never expected such a violent, aggressive, vindictive thing could ever have been done to me or my family.
Contrast and compare. Oregon, Portland just passed a homeless tax to keep people on the streets. Oregon, you pop a tent up, stick a heroin needle in your arm, and engage in sex trafficking, you'll be left alone. Washington State, same rules. Oregon doesn't arrest criminals either. Washington State, same rules. COVID-19 comes along. Seattle says, hey, we got to stop arresting people for property crimes. Well, you're already not doing that, so they accelerate it. Jay Inslee says, man, we got to hurry up and let the felons out of prison. COVID-19, they're back on the streets. Same process in Oregon, and a salon owner opens her business up with health precautions in place for a virus that will never seriously sicken 99% of us, that has a 99.8% survival rate, according to the CDC. And she's crushed. A crazy man running through Ballard, threatening people, only makes the news because there's a racial aspect to it. He's a dime a dozen. He's not corralled. He's not put away. Heroin Dan Satterberg says we can't arrest these people. It's just not going to solve the problem. But Heroin Dan and Sideshow Bob, they're all behind the crushing of people like Lindsey Graham. Tell me again, this is about a virus. Someone come and tell me, yeah, this is all about a virus. You're watching the flipping of society. You're watching it. We've been given an incredible responsibility, and that is to talk about it. It is to convince our neighbors that this normal isn't, that the shutdown is political, that there's no logic behind this because it's not meant to be logical, because it's meant to be a power play. You're going to do what we tell you to do. You're going to believe that a cloth mask is helping you, even though you can feel the sweat and the snot building up in it as you wear it, even though you're smart enough to know that warm, hot, moist places are where mold grows. Even though you're smart enough to know all that, you need to ignore that. You need to shut down your brain. If you're a salon owner and you see Walmart open and Lowe's open and liquor stores open and abortionist clinics opened and pot stores opened, and you see the government workers are still drawing their paychecks, still going to their offices, still hammering away on their computers, but you can't open your salon and give one-on-one haircuts where you're masked, where you take their temperature and take yours. You are smart enough to know there's no way in God's green earth that this is related in any way to a virus. It is picking and choosing. It is crushing. And if you stand up, we'll take your kids from you. But it's about a virus. It's about a virus that 99.8% of us will survive. On the G and Ursula show, which airs 9 to noon at Car Radio 97.3 FM, they had someone on from a state. We need to get this person's name, please, Alex, from the state of Washington to talk about the inflated death count numbers.
State Department of Health sent out a clarification email late last evening after seeing some of the reporting. Bottom line is there are some cases that are being reported that are not COVID deaths. There are 3,000 cases or so of people who died of a respiratory illness or pneumonia or something like that starting back in January 1st, which is before that first case was reported here. So those people they think may have died from coronavirus, but they don't know. So all told, there's a 3% margin for error. Around 30 cases possible is what they're saying. Margin of error of 3%.
Okay, so that's Hannah Scott. I know the voice because she's a great reporter. She's a fantastic reporter for Cairo Radio. That's Hannah Scott quoting the state of Washington. Here's what we know in the state of Washington's numbers. If you were in a car accident and you died, but you previously tested positive for COVID-19, that's a COVID-19 death. We know that in multiple instances. Here's what we know. If you died in a gunshot from a gunshot wound, but you'd previously tested positive for COVID-19, that's a COVID-19 death. Here's what else we know. If you had cancer and the cancer was on the pathway to killing you and you got COVID-19 and it contributed to your death, it's not the cancer that killed you. It's the COVID-19. Even though had you not had the cancer, your body wouldn't have been as susceptible to this as it was because you're not in that age group. That's still counted as COVID-19 death. Here's what else we know. Jay Inslee said that this is, we got these people out here, they're bringing these conspiracy theories from the planet Pluto. We know that the Freedom Foundation, who did the public document request to find out how deaths are being counted in Washington state, we know that. We know that they brought out the 13% number. We know that Jay Inslee made that ridiculous statement about conspiracy theories from the planet Pluto. We also know that his people then admitted it in a conference call on which was attended by people from the Freedom Foundation. Jason Mercier, hardly a bomb thrower, hardly a grenade thrower. He's a guy who does tax policy for the Washington Policy Center. I don't even know how conservative he is beyond taxes. In fact, I believe he's one who believes in wearing masks. My understanding, I don't know. I think I've seen that on Facebook. He says the Freedom Foundation is owed an apology. We got to get the conference call. Got to put it up so you can hear the governor's people admit all this. You're seeing a flipping of society. Stylists are enemies of the people. They'll have their kids taken away if they try to work. Crazy people who are mentally ill, who should be in an asylum getting help, are VIPs. Say it again. Stylists trying to earn a living need to be crushed. Crazy people shooting heroin into their veins are VIPs and cannot be touched, cannot have their lives altered. People who are providing places for people to rent, landowners, they're the enemy. Renters are allowed to steal rent from them all because of a virus. This is a flipping of society. Do you think the people who've been afforded free rent are suddenly going to go back to paying? Do you think after COVID-19, we're going to go put all the felons back? Do you think that suddenly we're going to start prosecuting crimes? Do you think that all of a sudden the technocrats who can crush stylists are going to stop crushing stylists? Only if we make it stop. Today, demand that Washington reopen. Today. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. The Uniculture update and a whole lot of text messages from you. Love to hear what you think about the stylist in Oregon. Love to hear what you think he would do in that case. Love to hear what you think she should do. 800-465-8770. That anywhere. That's Kiss. That's from that's the album version. This is the first Kiss record. Strutter. They still open shows with this. Paul Stanley. They've been in a bunch of bands. Paul and Gene, the founders of Kiss, have been in a bunch of bands, and they'd studied everything, and they finally said, what do we need to do? And one of the things they said is keep it simple. Kiss, yeah, keep it simple, stupid. So they said, what is the most remarkable, easy-to-remember line that we could use or name that they could use? And that's what they came up with. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Kiss. Well, actually, I do, but I won't. Well, no, they have this great song, God Made Rock and Roll for You. Have you ever really listened to that? They tried to put out a concept. Well, they didn't try. They did. They actually put out two concept albums. That's a hell of a message in that song. You can work real hard or you can fantasize. It's all about, you know, look, you're frustrated in your life trying to figure out what you're supposed to be. And this is God made rock and roll for you. And this is where you fit in. And then Paul Stanley sings this line. You can work real hard or you can fantasize. It's about, oh, I want to be a rock star. Oh, do you? Are you willing to do the work? This is incredible. I love this audience. I love you. Well, I do. I love you because you give me the opportunity to do something I've always wanted to do for a living. Forever. First time I heard Paul Harvey, I said, man, people can do that. Then I heard Rush. I thought, wow, he gets to share his opinion on the radio like that? He gets to be that out there in terms of how he says things, not opinion-wise. Mark on Twitter, at Mark, MARCB247. He brings us breaking news. Governor Inslee on the $200,000 or $200 million theft of your money. You ready for this? Governor Jay Inslee. This is on Twitter from his at Gov Inslee account. Ready? We're working hard to limit the financial impact of COVID-19. Last week, we removed the one-week waiting period on unemployment insurance. That allowed us to get $40 million into the hands of Washingtonians, Washington people who live here. That was March 24th. That man bragged about removing a one-week delay. Why did the delay exist? It existed to make sure you weren't being scammed, to make sure that people weren't stealing unemployment so they could double verify. Okay, this is your email address. We're going to send you a text to your cell phone. Let's see if you actually have the cell phone number that we have on record. Oh, we are going to send you a letter at your home. We're going to send you a letter at your actual home address, and it's going to contain a code, and you're going to call back, and you're going to enter that code into our computer. No, we didn't do that. We're going to call your employer. We're going to email your employer. We're going to make sure that you've actually been laid off. No, they didn't do that. $200 million are gone, and Jay Inslee has nothing to say about it. Nothing. In fact, I'll look at his Twitter account right now. Nope. Jay Inslee has yet to tweet about this. His two latest tweets are about food stamps and about the NFL. Well, no, it's ESPN, the ESPY Awards. Dave Ross, from Seattle's Morning News, which airs 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Cairo Radio. Dave Ross spoke with Susie Levin, who is the so-called director of the state unemployment security department. I say so-called in that she's a political appointee. In my judgment, she took that job as a stepping stone. She's a huge Democrat donor. Looks like she made a ton of money working for Microsoft from back in the MS-DOS days. She has a background in data storage. Dave Ross had Susie Levin on his program. He asked her about the $200 million fraud that's been perpetrated upon you. This is Susie Levin.
We have not had a data breach at the Employment Security Department. What the criminals are doing is using stolen information that they had previously taken from other breaches, like the Equifax breach or the other multitude of breaches that have happened over the past few years. And they basically are so sophisticated, they compile an understanding of individuals with their data, and then they are using that stolen data and using that to then claim for benefits on our site. So that is what's happening. We call it imposter right. Fraud.
They're so sophisticated that they download lists or data that's been stolen from people and from companies, and they use it to fool systems that the governor has removed a one-week waiting period from. That's sophisticated. That's just like you saying, well, we didn't have a breach of our property. These burglars are so sophisticated that they stole burglary gear from other people, and then they walked into our house with it. What gear? Bags. What do you mean? Well, they brought bags and they took our stuff out with bags. But those bags, they didn't steal those bags from us. We didn't have a bag breach. Just like that. And Dave Ross asked her about why didn't the software systems catch this fraud? This is Susie Levin, the director of Washington State Unemployment. By the way, this is a federal issue. $200 million gone. I've heard that the Secret Service is in town looking into this. And Jay Inslee, Sideshow Bob. Bob, I need you to go out and make a statement.
I'm not making a statement. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you have no problem going out and getting all over those barbers and this damn stylists and the people, that damn gym owner.
Yeah, but they're little and I can crush them. They don't have any money.
Well, that's true. Well, Bob, what are we going to do?
Jay, what we need to do is get David Postman to figure out how to blame Donald Trump.
That's the kind of thinking I like. That's some smart stuff, Bob. Dave Ross asked Susie Levin about why didn't your software catch this?
Okay, but the money's got to go somewhere. So when you send out the money and, for example, it's sent out of state, wouldn't your computers detect that? That would be suspicious, wouldn't it?
So, Dave, I'm not going to give a roadmap for what we are seeing at this point. I don't want to help other criminals come in and try and execute what has been happening. We are working hard on cranking up our various parameters around.
Yeah. So, in other words, now it's the sting. Oh, on the text line, Kenny Druff, Twitter. Todd, FYI, God Gave Rock and Roll to You is a cover song. Original artist is a Christian band named Petra. Sweet! That makes that even better. I appreciate that. Let's get to the text, 800-465-8770. Mindy, that was awesome. I want that segment now to put all over social media. I'm crying. Literally can't type this. Okay, this is about the stylist who owns a shop in Oregon being told that, hey, we'll take your kids away. We'll take your kids away if you don't shut your mouth real good and stop earning a paycheck. But we'll let the homeless people run free. We'll let them inject needles into their arms. We'll let them sex traffic in their camps. We'll let them shoot up all over the place, steal, etc. You try to earn a living, we'll take your kids from you. Society's flipping. But don't worry, it's because people are getting sick with the virus. Well, you know, 1% and has a 99.8% survival rate and all. GG in Monroe. Todd, the case of Ms. Graham goes down in Oregon as simply an abuse of power, period. She should make a complaint about false prosecution. It would be best if she could find an attorney to file a civil rights lawsuit as well. GG's a former FBI agent. I agree, Gigi. That's all. I agree with that completely. Jason the Mason. Oregon told a baker or some such to not think a while back of a refusal to participate in a gay wedding. Yep, they did. They did. You can't have a conscience there. And this now, it's down to you don't get to earn a living. But you will continue to pay your property taxes. You don't pay, we'll take your home. You don't pay your B&O tax, we'll take your business. What about the homeless people? They're VIPs. What about the criminals you're letting out? They're VIPs. You got to understand something. They're in control. Texting trucker. Anyone for the government who forced their way into my in-home to interrogate my family without my consent would eat lead. Texting trucker. Yep, I know that that's an instinct a lot of people have, trucker. I know that a lot. On the text line, Rhino on the roads. When Inslee first started releasing criminals from prison, the spin in the news was that people were being released because they were older, most vulnerable. How is it that reoffenders keep popping up in their 20s and 30s? Has anyone pressed Inslee on this? Some reporters have asked about that, to be honest. They need to press harder from the 425. Sole proprietor here. Wait till I tell my customers I need to take their temperature only. They were out of forehead thermometers. Good news, though. They had plenty of rectal thermometers in stock and supposed to be the most accurate. LOL. Yeah, give that a try, 425. We'll see how that goes. We'll come back and wrap up the day with a personal note next on The Todd Herman Show.
down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I got a lot of notes yesterday about Rush's monologue. And just to be very clear, Rush speaks for Rush, period. I heard it too. And I do think that, I know this. I can tell you that the EIB team has told me that he really appreciates the prayers. And I heard his second hour as well. And I heard it, too. I heard him talk about the health situation and the difficulty in doing the show. And I'm not pretending to be Mr. EIB. I obviously filled in for Rush. And I know the team. And I think those prayers are really important, really potent and important. And I've heard that Rush feels them, even, you know, when he's not reading them directly. There is a thing about strong men. And there is a duality. I am fascinated with the duality of parenthood and the duality of wanting to be a strong protector, but needing to be also willing to let go. But I'm also very touched by a duality in the parental relationship between a big, strong father and a little baby. I've always been fascinated with this. I've always found that very, very interesting. Because men, I think we're genetically designed, of course, to be protectors. We're bigger, you know, greater bone density, more lean muscle mass, all these things. Not to say that there are women, it can be plenty tough. There are, and that's true. But we're also designed, I think, to find ourselves vulnerable. And I think there's a reason for this. I think it actually serves our protector's nature. Right, I do think that we're designed beings. I think that we're designed by God. I firmly believe that DNA proves that. Not because of a black box theory, but because information doesn't arise by chance. Not useful information. A friend of mine named Van was a boxer. And before there was like mixed martial arts, MMA, before that, he was a kickboxer. He was also a wrestler. And he was about as brutal a guy as you could see in a fight that you'd ever see. He was tattooed. By living, he was a painter. He painted cars. He had a paint shop behind his home. And Van was funny because Van oftentimes said, sometimes I don't wear the mask because I like the smell of the paint. Okay. It's your choice. And somehow he lived through that. You know those people who smoke for 90 years and drink whiskey for 115 years and they eat this and that every single day and cheesecake twice a week and they're just that guy? That was Van. I hadn't been in town in a long time. It had been about 4 years. I was living in Utah and we didn't have Facebook at the time or anything like that. But I gave some calls to some people. Hey, I'm going to be in town. I'd love to see you guys. I didn't have Van's number, but it got through to Van that I was going to be in town. So Van said, hey, you should come over to the house. So he asked me to come over early in the morning because he had work to do and we just reconnect. And I ended up getting there a lot earlier than I would have gone. So I showed up at his house and I'm outside thinking, I won't go in. I thought he lived a lot further out than he did. And okay, I'm here and I'm not going to go in. I mean, it's too early, but then I saw the lights on and I saw that, okay, people are moving around in the house. Well, you know, I didn't have a cell phone. Remember those days? So I approached the house and started to walk in and I was able to look downstairs. And what was actually going on is that there was Van. And had his shirt off and had his pajama bottoms on. And you see this ripped man. And Van, to this day, he's one of those guys who's got veins like telephone wires through his arms. He's wiry and strong and sinewy. He's that sort of guy. He's sitting in a rocking chair. And tattooed arms. He's got stubble on his face. And he is hugging his little girl for everything he's worth. And she has her head on his shoulder. I can see that she's crying. So I'm thinking, man, I'm feeling kind of guilty. And I'm standing there and the door pops open. And it's his wife, Leah. She goes, Todd. I said, hi, I'm so sorry I'm early. No, come in. I said, no, I can see something's going on with the family. She goes, well, come in. We'll just be quiet. And so I came in. I was talking to Leah upstairs. I says, hey, what's going on? And he said, she said, Laura had a really bad nightmare, a really scary nightmare, that someone was going to come and take her from the family. I said, what's going on? She says, we've got some weird neighbors. And one of the boys said, oh, I'll steal you from your house. I'll steal you from your dad. I said, oh, that's really scary for kids. Well, I could hear kind of downstairs, they started, you know, laughing and such. So Van had done what dads do, kind of turned things around and came upstairs, said hi to Laura. And Van's standing there, shirt off, ripped. So come downstairs, brother. Come downstairs. And he starts to get dressed, put on his jeans and a T-shirt, and reaches over for his pistol. I go, what are we doing? He goes, oh, I'm going to go give a neighbor a neighbor visit. Oh, you are? Yeah, I need to go talk to a dad. His kid's 18, scared my little girl. He didn't hurt the guy, but he showed the duality of parenting because it brought out that instinct. Rush Limbaugh's next. This is the Todd Herman Show. We do this every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.